This is Bob Fitrakis with Dan Dugan, and you're listening to The Other Side of the News. We're streaming live on the Free Press Network and at WGRN.org. Listen to 94.1 WGRN LPFM as well as WCRS LPFM at 92.7 and 98.3.
Death and hatred to mankind.
Well, let's go to the other guy.
Other guy's here.
All
good
right.
To see you, Bob.
And
it's,
we got
it's winter again.
And we got another guy in the middle. Privileged to have Michael Allwood. Again, many years on the radio and the host of Blue State Diner, which I was on occasionally, but mainly had a show. Yeah, was it prior to it, as my memory fades.
And I think that's after? Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I was the setup guy, and he was the guy with the radio experience. So, Michael Allwood, glad to have you back. Also, the managing editor
right.
of the Columbus Free Press, which we'll be talking about. So, you talked about the 800-pound yellow or orange-haired gorilla in the room and suggested maybe we wanted to talk about that on the air. Let me give you a couple of my favorite quotes from Bob Bites Back. And here I cite Christianity Today. Quote, this is their editorial, which was so controversial last month. Quote, he, meaning Trump, has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminally. He himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women, about which he remains proud. His Twitter feed alone, with its habitual string of mischaracterization, lies, and slander, is a near-perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. Christianity Today, created by the Reverend Billy Graham.
And here I am stuck in the middle between these two fellows that I've known for a very long time, Bob and Dan Dugan, and happy to be here. Good to see Dan. I haven't seen Dan in a very long time. And golly, Bob.
Yeah. We were catching up on old personalities we know well, like Ronald Cole and Damon Zex and Johnny Go, for God's sakes.
Yeah. And
but one of the writers for the Free Press, and he wrote a great article
about
Paul McCartney and the Beatles.
Yeah, I want to get to that a little later on in a lighter moment. But talk about acting presidential. I don't think what you just described is anywhere near what we would call presidential, and I don't think he's done one thing his entire time in office that would pass for presidential, and I think that's a sad
state of affairs. He pardoned a turkey or two. That's very presidential.
And I was just taken back at Christianity Today, how direct they were.
Very.
Quote, the facts in this instance are unambiguous. The President of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the President's political opponents. This is not only a violation of the Constitution, but more importantly, it is profoundly immoral.
And in the last couple of days, we are seeing more and more evidence that corroborates that.
Yeah, with Lev Parnas being charged and then telling all. He's really laying it out.
And Trump comes back and with the same old line he's used many times.
Let me guess.
I don't know the person.
I had my picture
taken, and they showed last night on MSNBC a series of pictures of Lev Parnas and Donald Trump together.
Yes.
One of them in a reception line where they're standing together.
Right.
And then Trump has the audacity to try to say that he does not know the man.
Well, what next? You're going to tell me he knew Jeff Epstein?
Yeah, right. There you go. And he hardly
again,
knew.
There were pictures.
He hardly knew Sondland.
There were exchanges. And
he said that he hardly knew Sondland. It's the man that gave him $1 million for his campaign, and he put in charge of the EU as the representative. et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. I thought you were going to go with the same old thing when he says, the conversation was perfect, which, oh my goodness. And I think some of his handlers, maybe they tell him, hey, just go to what works, go what you're comfortable with, keep repeating it, but man. But then he gets out on the stumps, and then it all comes out, right?
It unravels. Yeah. Quickly, yeah. But the same line he's...
But they love it.
I've heard him say many
his
times...
followers.
Like I have with thousands of people. I have my picture taken with thousands of people. And mm-hmm. he tries to say that it was just a day in the life.
Right. And just another, yeah.
And
another selfie.
It's just another brick in the wall. Well, if you ask me.
I mean, in reality.
To try to claim that he does not know this man. When Parnassus explained in a brilliant interview with Rachel Maddow.
Right. Absolutely.
She did tremendous work in that one interview.
Right.
And the things that he says that he had dinner in a group of six people, including the president.
Right.
And the things that they discussed at that dinner.
Right.
And their damning words. And sure I think are. In the last couple of days, I mean, people have been...
Dirty little Rudy was there. For sure.
Yes.
And who is a braggart. I mean, between him and Trump, I mean, you don't need much of a grand jury because they're always bragging and confessing and thinking there's no consequences.
Which is why having him as a witness would be incredible. It still amazes me that he was able to keep like 9 people from testifying in front of the House that were subpoenaed. Mm-hmm. Bob and I have discussed this numerous times. And it's this executive privilege. Just, it's amazing.
Well,
amazing.
I have some good news.
Good entertaining
on this front.
Political TV, though.
Let me preface this by saying that I think a lot of us have been pessimistic about the possible outcome of the impeachment trial because Yertle the Turtle and his minions are pretty much dead set on acquitting this president. And that's what mm-hmm. we think.
Right. Well, yeah, and have even announced, as McConnell did, that he was definitely going to vote.
Right.
Not guilty before they even go but in, before. And they're supposed to be impartial.
Here's the shining light in this. After watching Rachel last night, I continued watching Lawrence O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very interesting guest on, and that was Lawrence Tribe.
Oh, the famed Harvard attorney.
Mm. Yes.
Professor.
Who taught.
Leading expert.
Another name to learn.
Who was a mentor and taught John Roberts, who was sworn in yesterday as presiding over the Senate impeachment trial. And Tribe says that there is no way that this procedure will continue without witnesses. He says that Roberts
wants them.
Would want them.
Okay. Well, Roberts is a conservative, not a reactionary, radical guy from the right.
And here's,
so he wants to follow the rule.
Right.
Here's their talking points, too. They're saying, well, all that should have been done in the House. But the House functions like a grand jury.
So to speak.
To suggest
but
McConnell,
they're also judges themselves in a way.
Well, they voted on Hamilton. But a grand jury.
But that's a good analogy, I think.
The grand jury passes
the
case in the
that's
grand
true.
Jury.
That's true, yeah,
vote.
Okay. So essentially, yeah.
So
House
what they're trying to say is, well, if there was going to be witness, McConnell and Republicans, that should have happened in the House. No. At trials, the essence of trials are witnesses.
Yeah.
The grand jury is the indictment. Witnesses are at the trial in the Senate, and you can't get around that.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be real interesting to see what Roberts does and what role he'll play, because I don't think he's the kind to just, you know, be the wallflower. I think he'll want to be involved actively. So.
And new evidence usually comes in on trial, right? Yeah, there might be a continuance, to research it, understand its implications. But if there's breaking evidence, you're allowed to bring it in.
And I think that some of the evidence that's out there might be enough to sway just a couple of the of Republican senators to do
might
their
be.
Duty.
Yeah.
To do their duty to act
maybe.
Upon the evidence that's presented to them.
Right.
And again, in regards to Roberts, he's a different animal from
yes,
the peacock
is.
Who preceded him in Rehnquist,
yeah.
who famously emblazoned his robes with the gold stripes,
inspired
right. by right. a Gilbert and Sullivan opera.
And he was the Chief Justice in... By God, he wanted you to know it.
Yes.
Here come the judge. Here yeah. come the judge.
And one of the least qualified Supreme Court justices ever. He was a political hack that spent his time, as you recall, Michael, screaming at newly registered black voters.
Yes.
I'm somewhat optimistic about Roberts, just in that regard. At least yeah, I think we can figure out where he's coming from. This is the thing about Trump and those type of so-called conservatives. You often don't know exactly where they're going to land, you know, and he really likes to test the winds and see what his followers will think or want to cheer for, you know, the red meat, and then he'll go that direction often. In a, you know, but I think Roberts is predictable.
More rule of the law.
And, somewhat.
Yeah, and so is Lindsey Graham. We know he has an S&M relationship firmly with Trump. I've never seen
well,
anything like it.
Well, he's got sex on his mind.
Well, no, I mean...
Well, we were Epstein,
they
and
ran,
now we've got
and they
no,
ran
Lindsey
in the
Graham.
Republican
Sorry.
Primary, ran for president, and Trump did nothing but assault him verbally. And now the guy does
yeah,
nothing
yeah.
but be
but
as big as the
And he's not the only
apologist.
One. And then we have this new player, too. It's like these names keep popping up, like you guys brought up the other name, which I've already forgotten, but I'll get back there. But Hyde is this guy that has been introduced by Lev Parnas as a new character here who's running for office and is like a super Trump supporter. And, of course, was at Mar-a-Lago when Trump was going around telling everyone that he'd killed the bad guy, and unwilling to tell yeah. Congress or share or even discuss it with them. At any rate, this Hyde fella is yet another crazy character that just pops
right,
up.
Right, who claims they were just joking, we were just, you know.
But he was in the Ukraine. He was in Ukraine, you know, working with
Rudy.
Claimed
to be, you know,
stalking
the female
but he
ambassador.
Said he
was,
so, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
it was just a joke. Just because I knew where
joke.
She was
yeah.
at four different locations right in a row mm-hmm. doesn't mean I was stalking. Okay.
Yeah, well, it was just a joke.
That was one of the other things
barroom
that
joke.
Has just
like locker room
surfaced
humor,
and that is that she was
Talk.
Being surveilled.
Right.
And
that's scary
disturbing.
Stuff. That really
that's
is
very disturbing.
Absolutely.
And what hasn't often been mentioned, except maybe on this show, is Paul Manafort, the president's Trump former campaign manager, was in the Ukraine with Michael Connell. The guys that were accused of rigging the 2004 election in Ohio then went on after
right.
the 2004 election to work in the Ukraine
right.
and make sure there was a pro-Russian
right,
president
which was,
elected.
Which was not Zelensky's part.
No, Zelensky followed the coup, right?
I mean, Zelensky wasn't who Trump wanted in the first place, or the Trump team. Or you know.
No, he was a comedian. It was like... The equivalent
right.
of electing
John Stewart or,
yeah, or Steve
right.
Colbert.
Right. There you go. Yeah. But he wasn't the one they were backing. And I'm not sure right. that always gets... Yeah. Right. But Manafort, of course, was there doing his thing. And we're on the other side of the news, right? Dr. Bob Fitrakis?
Yes, we are.
We have Dr. Michael Allwood. I've just made you a doctor.
And the other side, 98.3. Well, he's a doctor in the sense of Hunter Thompson. Was a journalist doctor.
There you go.
A little about your background.
He's a bit gonzo.
You go way back in journalism.
I'm a little gonzo, yeah.
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 I
have
I can
been
attest to that.
In the media for...
And I know gonzo.
for going on 40 years, maybe longer. I was a television radio a person when I was in the military. I was the sports... anchor for American Forces Network Europe in Frankfurt, and it was broadcast all over Europe. And later I was program director at KDEF in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow. Nice weather.
I was in very nice weather, and
I love
a lot of people don't realize that Albuquerque has four seasons.
There you go.
And later on, I became station manager at WVKO, and my proudest moment.
Sounds of the City.
My proudest moment at VKO was bringing Bob Fitrakis back to the airwaves. I remember the day we met to talk about it was the day you got the keys to your house, the house you live in now, and we met here.
That's right, in at the carriage house.
Yeah. Yes. And I said, Bob, what do you think about coming back to radio? And you said, you know, I've been thinking about that myself. I said, well, we'd love to have you. And that day I became the producer of Fight Back.
Fight Back.
With Bob Fitrakis, and golly, we've had some good times together.
We broke a lot of stories and talked about a lot of issues that other people tried to avoid.
I remember there was a longtime listener who called in one Saturday to tell us about the tragic plane crash death of the fellow you had deposed.
Michael Connell.
Michael Connell, and that's why I thought of it, because we were just talking about that.
Who went off to rig elections in the Ukraine before?
And in Tennessee.
What's a guy to do?
The Tennessee was Ethan Gibbs. Ethan Gibbs is the man who pointed out the election machines had been used in the Third World and developed by the CIA, the ones we were now. And he's the guy who...
Didn't the internet come about that way?
Ethan Gibbs came up to me when I was doing radio at the old VKO, when it was a black-owned station, and said, look, you claim to be an investigative reporter. Why would Diebold, which makes ATM machines where there's receipts, why would they make a voting machine with no paper trail?
By design.
I'm like, oh, good point. You can't recount it.
Which led to a book that you and Harvey wrote, What Happened in Ohio.
What Happened in Ohio, yeah, the New Press.
And in 2012, during the course of Barack Obama's campaign, I had Ohio for Obama had me on speed dial, because they were pitching me spokespeople every single day. And one of them was John Kerry, who I interviewed one day. And I said, Senator, I have a book in front of me by Bob Fitrakis called What Happened in Ohio. And don't you know, he admitted knowing about the book, but he would not touch the subject.
Considering I briefed him, Jesse Jackson got him on the phone right after the vote in Ohio, and I briefed him on how bad the numbers were, how implausible they were, and he had one question for me. Can we prove it in 72 hours? And I said, you can't even look at the ballot for 10 days. So no. And that was the end of it.
Well, that brings up, like, because of Gore's situation in Florida in 2000, and he conceded, which put the onus on the Democratic Party to prove, the election was results weren't correct. But you would have thought Kerry might have learned something from that, but obviously not. Well, so what is the bit about the 72-hour window? Is that just because of how it looks, or is there
because
any
of how
kind
it looks?
Right.
Because, how they won in 2000, how, George W. Bush won is like sore loser men. We won.
Right.
Claim victory. And it was all based on a bad call by Fox News, where
right.
someone entered
Imagine
the
that.
Wrong numbers in the central tabulator. There was a 20,000 vote incorrect shift to George W. Bush. They took 16,000 votes away from Al Gore and added 4,000 to George Bush. And later, Roger Ailes apologized before Congress. But the call that came from Fox was based on a deliberate or accidental shift of 20,000 votes. The AP got it right. You know what the AP said? too close to call. Then the only one that, and when Fox called it,
then why didn't see, and that brings it up again. Why?
Because when Fox calls it, ABC, NBC, and CBS follow suit. Yeah, you know, packed journalism where they figured these people wouldn't be calling it unless they had the numbers. So Michael knows how that works.
Absolutely, and it's something that didn't happen subsequently when we had the famous Karl Rove meltdown. The switch didn't get flipped in 2012. Right. And the famous Rove meltdown on television live when he absolutely lost his mind because it didn't happen.
And I'll take some credit for that because the Washington Spectator said I was the main reason because we had, as you recall, filed suit in federal court.
Well, that's what
turned down. They wouldn't accept our expert witness. And then we went to state court where the judge accepted it and said he would leave the suit open for 30 days to make sure the numbers look good.
And 30 days, okay.
And also...
So there has been some...
Going back to my conversation with John Kerry at the time...
Precedent.
They were very aware of what was going on, and I asked him about that very thing, the possibility of tabulation manipulation going on. And he said, we're very aware of the situation. We have people on the ground in Ohio. And that's what led, they had people watching. And that's what led to the switch not getting flipped.
Yeah, because they had thoughts people were that on there site. Were FBI. And the guy who was the expert witness was a 37-year employee of the NSA, who was one of the 50 highest certified election security people on the planet. Remember, because ESNS had put in these special patches.
Right.
With experimental
so which how they circumvented the law by calling them experimental.
Right. But knowing a lot of this too, Trump in 2016, if you recall, kept saying that he wasn't so sure. He kept saying the election was rigged ahead of time
against him. Yeah, you'll have to ask Travis Irvine on this.
To not concede.
Yeah, the story there is Harvey and I wrote a book called The Strip and Flip Election.
Right.
Travis Irvine, who was, as a libertarian, was close to Roger Stone. So he gets Roger Stone.
How close? We don't want to know.
Roger Stone to interview me twice on this book. And the first edition said essentially that they the Dems had stole it from Bernie, so Stone gives it to Trump,
okay.
And Trump starts going on a rant
about
fixed
election, rigged election.
But then the next edition that Harvey and I did said the Trump votes looked rigged for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read the review by Roger Stone in The Hill, called it a must read.
Roger Stone, yeah. He's the one with the Nixon tattoo. I was wondering if Travis got a look at that.
He likes to make it a lot with his wife.
I don't know if he did or not.
Got in trouble when he was in the Dole campaign. When it came out, he was a swinger.
And he comes up for sentencing soon, too. It's all these players. I mean, there was one thing you had mentioned about acting, et cetera. You know, there was one point when Trump, you know, he keeps going through this revolving door of people. You know, people in position.
Oh, it's... How many people have come and gone? I mean, the list just keeps growing.
Yes, going and going. And at one point, he even said, well, I like acting as head of a department or acting as secretary, you know, so that, obviously, so that they can be moved on. Very like good old Rick Perry, who has already moved on. And he was right in the thick of the Ukraine scandal. And, man... Crazy stuff. So, Michael, there's one thing I wanted to ask. How long have you been involved with the Columbus Free Press?
I came on board in 2013. I think it was July that when we went to weekly format is when I came on board, and we made a couple of mistakes in personnel. And,
go on.
Particularly,
the Columbus Free Press.
But particularly the ad guy.
Things happen.
It's
showbiz. No, it's even worse. But, it's news.
You know, we persevered and and people ask me about this frequently. It's like, do you make a lot of money doing that? Hell no.
Of course.
We don't make any money.
Yeah, newspapers are killing it, particularly a free one.
We don't do it for the money. We do it because we believe in the cause. We believe in journalism for the right reasons. I wouldn't have been allied with Bob and Suzanne as long as I have been if we didn't have the same vision for truth to power.
There it is.
And that's what we do it for, not for the money. We don't make any money. We don't have very much time. I do want to encourage listeners and viewers to pick up this January edition of the Free Press.
And all the editions that are out there.
And all of them, yes, Dan. And there's good stuff in here. Bob Bites Back is a must-read. The cover story is a must-read. If you care about what goes on in Ohio and in our nation and what is about to happen in this election cycle, then this is a must-read. But there's also some wonderful gems in this particular edition, and I want to draw your attention to another very old and dear friend of mine.
And a friend of Dan's, Johnny Go.
We go way back. John Petrick. He was going to clean my clock one day, and I asked him if he'd fix my wagon, too. We haven't gotten around to that yet, one of these days. Sorry, go ahead.
We go back.
Great
ways.
Column, this one. No.
And this particular column by John is about the Joe Peppercorn Beatles Marathon.
Great event.
That he puts on every year right around Christmas time. And this was the 10th year. And there was a big surprise at this one because it opened with a video of Paul McCartney telling him to keep it going and keep going on. And I think, right. You know, if you're any kind of Beatle fan, yeah. What would be more thrilling than Paul McCartney?
That's the first year I haven't gone in like 10 years or whatever. So that'll happen. So I missed Sir Paul. But yeah, that's good stuff. There's entertainment, but of course there's hard news. There's also the calendar, and I want to remind everyone, as you probably know, Martin Luther King Day is on Monday. There is of course the birthday breakfast at the Convention Center, free breakfast at the Zion Church. And, of course, the march and celebration, the doors open at 4 p.m. at East High School. So, and there's also a great NBA basketball game on. I thought I'd throw that in there. Yeah. Oh, and I want to thank Train DePriest, who is our hardworking engineer. Came in around the morning to get Michael Allwood on the radio and the video.
And we got to wrap up. Thanks,
and Dr.
Michael.
Bob.
We're going to have you back soon. Michael Allwood.
On the other side of the news.
Managing editor, Free Press.
And hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord.